Again, good morning and welcome to worship. I have a few announcements for you. The first is a joy. We have raised and exceeded the $30,000 goal for Habitat for Humanity. And every single day for volunteers have been filled for Habitat for Humanity. So congratulations, and this is such a joy and a true commitment to missions. The Young Professionals Group is sponsoring a nonviolent communications seminar. These are on two Tuesday evenings in October. One's October 8th and October 15th. It'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. This is not just for young professionals. It's for everyone, but it's sponsored by that group in the congregation. The last announcement is that third grader Anna Bigelow is collecting cotton fabric for Thistle Farms. There's a bucket in front of the elevator when you walk in through the sliding glass doors, and you can put in 100% cotton t-shirts, 100% cotton fabrics, or sheets for her to help Thistle Farms and her school project. Behold, God is doing a new thing here and now amidst our daily lives. Let us exalt God's name together.
Thank you. We love to gather together and worship our triune God.
We worship God.
We celebrate God's gift in our connections to each other and our neighbor.
We celebrate and give thanks to the Lord our
Let us now confess how easily we fail to remain open to God's presence in our lives and the things that may be holding us back from experiencing God's love to the fullest. Loving God, we struggle to find the words to express the tensions in our lives and the world around us. We cause hurts, sorrows, and disappointments in our own lives, and even inflict pain and suffering on others. We know your love is always present, nourishing creation, but we struggle to understand the things we see and do. the things that seem to stand in opposition to the nature of your love. We long to understand the mystery of grace and your mystery in creation. Forgive us and bless us with a sense of peace and an ever-deepening faith in your goodness as we reflect on our lives and the nature of your gift of grace. Amen. God's promise for you is perfection through the peace and love of Christ. Rejoice, for God is with you, loving you and perfecting you always. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ryan Allen and Whitney Allen bring their daughter, Adeline Ryan Allen, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without a price. Ryan and Whitney, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child as in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Great. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, say we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child before you in your care?
We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised in Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. And what name is given this child? Adeline Ryan Allen. Perfect. Adeline Ryan Allen, I baptize you in the name of God our Creator, Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our Sustainer. I invite you to lay hands on as we pray over this beautiful creature of God. Adeline Ryan, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, this is Adeline Ryan. Adeline is a gift to this congregation. Adeline, y'all can come out here with me. Adeline, this congregation is tasked with watching over you throughout your life. They're going to be with you as you experience these great moments in faith. Whitney and Ryan were married here. And now they are having their firstborn baptized. I invite the congregation to stand and affirm our newest member.
Members of the household of God, I commend Adeline Ryan to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. Welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you, the body of Christ, and in this congregation, the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. I invite you now to join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the words proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and in the power of darkness." And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to see your beautiful faces this morning and hear your beautiful voices. God gives us the gift of music, and I'm so glad each one of you wants to participate with that. This morning, we're going to talk about chickens. So chickens live together in a big hen house, and normally they use their beaks to eat food. But sometimes, when they get sad or angry, they decide that they're going to pick on other chickens with their beaks, and they peck them. And so humans talk about a pecking order. Now, the bigger the chicken and the more powerful the chicken, the top of the pecking order. And if you're a small chicken or a weak chicken, you're usually at the bottom of the pecking order, which means that you're most likely probably to be bullied or picked on. In today's reading and in the sermon, I'm going to talk about a group of humans, and some of them are more powerful than others, and there's some bullying that happens in the story. But just like chickens, when we bully one another, we're not able to work together and live together in harmony. So we can love one another, and when we hurt another person, it hurts everyone. Let us pray. Lord, we do not always understand why we get mad or afraid. Please help us in those moments to trust you. Help us to love our family and friends, and help us to love even those people who are mean to us. We love you, and we thank you for loving us. Amen. Thank you so much for coming down. It's easy to read Bible stories like this one without really thinking about the details. The account of Jesus' arrest is in all four Gospels. And over the years, we've kind of mashed them up into one. And it sounds a little bit like this. Jesus goes to a garden and is praying, and some of them fall asleep. And then a crowd comes to the garden. Judas kisses Jesus to identify him. As Jesus is being arrested, Peter takes out his sword and chops off someone's ear, and then Jesus stops it, heals the ear, and is then arrested. Yet, if you imagine yourself in this story, you realize that it's completely absurd. Let's imagine all the people that are gathered there. You have the guards, you have the elders, the high priests, their servants. You have the disciples, including at least Peter, James, John, and Judas. You have people from religious, military, and civil leadership all there. It's no wonder that I don't automatically imagine all of those people there, because they never would have fit on my Sunday school felt board as a child. Yet the most absurd part of this story, for me, is the part where they begin to arrest Jesus. And Peter, who according to the Gospel of Matthew, just woke up from a nap. And he draws his sword and he attacks a slave. The Gospel of John tells us that this slave's name is Malichus. Something tells me Peter wasn't just aiming for his ear. Those of us who have seen or experienced a wound to the head, you know that there's a lot of blood. The story says that Jesus touched his ear, so it wasn't likely cut all the way off. But touching blood for any observant Jew would have made you ritually unclean. I imagine at this point other swords might have been drawn and there was about to be a slaughter when Jesus says, "No more of this." Jesus touches the ear and heals him. When they bound Jesus' hands to arrest him, they would have been covered in blood. Might this be a foreshadow of what is to come? Exactly what he says when he's being arrested is different in each of the Gospels. But in our text for this morning, he asks the question, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs?" Jesus claims that his teachings are not a violent rebellion. He rejects the violence in his arrest, and he rejects Peter's violent attempt to stop him. Violence is the most obvious answer for what Jesus says when he says, "No more of this." But could there be another interpretation found by focusing on Malichus, the person Peter attacked? We know very little about Malichus, except for the fact that he was the high priest's slave. He was most likely not carrying a sword. Why was he there? As a slave of a high priest, it's likely that he didn't have a choice in the matter. He is forced to the wishes of his master. Of all the people in this narrative, he is the one with the least amount of power. Peter attacks the powerless. When Jesus says, "No more of this," could he have been trying to put an end to the suffering of the least of these? How often it is easiest to do harm to the least, the weakest, and the servants in our society. The power of darkness and evil in the world is palpable in this story. We, too, live in a world filled with the absurd. The choir beautifully sang a poem this morning about the absurdness in the world. You can read it in your bulletin. The word absurd comes from the Latin word absurdus, which means to be out of tune. We live in a cacophony of noise. An image Thomas Merton uses to describe our absurd condition is the body of broken bones. The body of Christ suffers dismemberment. This division and harm has been uncovered through Michael's sermon over the past few weeks. This brokenness is spiritual as we experience deep loneliness and a sense of unworthiness and an inability to connect with the deep love of God. The division is physical as we murder, slaughter, and violate our own bodies and the bodies of our fellow human beings. The division is relational through the various isms that keep us in fear of one another. Michael used the images of buckets last week that we put people in. There are two common reactions to the division or the cacophony. The first is to pretend that it doesn't exist, that there are no broken bones, and that we can only hear perfect harmonies. For example, when we feel alone, we download one more app to keep us distracted. When we see poverty, we rationalize our own privilege. We often participate in systems of oppression to keep ourselves comfortable or to ignore or rationalize evil for the sake of our very own survival. Sometimes it's done in church pulpits. We rationalize suffering by claiming it as the will of God. Some preachers pronounce God's judgment on those who suffer from illness or natural disaster. I must confess my own fears as I composed and am now standing delivering this sermon. We as preachers are not God and are not omniscient. While I'm called to speak truth and pray fervently for God's guidance, I'm not big enough, nor should I be, to call into account all the evils of the age, especially as a non-participant. We ignore. We take advantage of the less powerful. The second way to deal with a cacophony is to contribute to the brokenness. We are simply one more gong in an out-of-tune world in the mix of it all. In our gospel story, Peter sees the absurd, the fact that an innocent man is being arrested, and he strikes Malichus, a slave in the system. We see Judas lean in and kiss Jesus. The enemy comes with a kiss. The friend comes with a sword. They both participate in the cacophony. So what do we do with the absurd? How do we heal the broken bones? Thomas Merton answers this with the responsibility to love. He says this, "To serve the God of love, one must be free. One must face the terrible responsibility of the decision to love in spite of our unworthiness, whether in oneself or in the other. Martin claims love as a choice, a decision to love despite the fact that we notice the cacophony in ourselves and in our fellow human beings. When we accept the grace of God, we understand that our worthiness or our unworthiness is laughable. There is nothing we can do to earn or lose the love of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus does not deny the cacophony, and he does not participate with it. He harmonizes with it. He creates a melody with it. He notices our unworthiness and chooses to love. He rebukes the violence and he heals. He reverses the systems of oppression and claims that the weakest should suffer no more. When we experience God's grace and we choose to love, we remember the body. Choosing to love does not always mean that there will be no more pain and that life will be easier. Healing broken bones takes time. You lose muscle, and frequently it involves physical therapy. When I tore my ACL, there was not a place in the world I hated more than the physical therapy clinic. The path to healing involved the inability to lift my leg, and rebuilding muscle was excruciating. But I chose to show up to my physical therapy sessions, spend time exercising that area of my body, and I was patient with the healing process. I did not heal myself, but I put myself in places and did exercises that allowed for the healing to happen. Those exercises are the ones we will talk about in November as we learn to keep the ordinances or the practices of God. There's another story in the New Testament about an ear. This one is found in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. He writes about the complete and unbroken body of Christ. This is what he says. "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We do not harmonize alone, but we participate with the gifts of other people. Part of healing the ear is to recognize the spaces and places that we exist and are situated in to be able to love. The whole body has the power to work together and create harmony amidst the cacophony. There are many examples of churches doing good in the world. Most of the time, doing good in the world takes courage, audacity, and imagination. You can breathe a sigh of relief to know that next week Michael will move on from doing no harm and spend his time talking about doing good. But we can't forget that we start with doing no harm. We must recognize our loneliness, the systems of oppression, and human suffering in the world. Instead of ignoring it or participating with it, we must choose to say together, 'No more of this,' and reach out our hand to heal. Part of the ways in which we work together and can recognize our ability to work together is reciting liturgy. You'll notice on page 883 in your hymnal, stand and recite together. The statement of faith in the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church. to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called us together for worship today. If you are a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship after the service in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. And if you are new to our community, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find information about our ministries as well as a small gift. Also, please note the gray cards in the pew racks. One side is for any comments or questions for staff or lay leadership. And the reverse side is for any prayer request you may have. This card may be placed in the offering plate in just a few moments. Also, please pass the attendance pad down your row if you have not done so already. And when it reaches the end, pass it back down and take note of who are present with us in worship today. This morning, as a congregation, our hearts go out to the family of longtime West End member Dr. Fred Cowden, who died yesterday. Saturday, September 28th, at the age of 97. He is survived by his grandchildren, West End members John Cowden, Mark Cowden, and Steve and Susan Cowden, as well as Steve and Susan's children, Kate and Stephen. The service is tentatively planned for next Saturday, October 5th, with a visitation for 9:45 in Reed Hall, followed by the memorial service at 11 o'clock in this sanctuary. Let us now move our hearts and minds toward prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of love and light, shine into our lives and bring your love into our souls. Remind us of the amazing ways you have loved us, even when we turn our backs on you. Open our hearts to receive your loving spirit. Open our minds to receive your wisdom. Open our hands to show others your loving compassion. Lord of love and light, we hold in our hearts those around us who feel unloved. We bring them to you for you to shine your love into their lives. We hold in our minds those who are overwhelmed by needs and difficulties. We hold in our hands your loving compassion to share with them. Lord of love and light, there are people in places that are dark, and in the dark about your love, shine forth your light and love in their lives and in those places. There are people in places that have closed their minds to you, to others, to new and fresh ideas. Shine forth your light and love to open their minds to you and to others and to new and fresh ideas. There are people in places that need our hands reaching out to them with your loving compassion. May our reaching out to them with your love and compassion shine forth your light and love. And now let us pray together as the loving light of Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now may we offer not only the ordinary things of life like our money, but also the extraordinary and give our whole selves to God. We give thanks that through our gifts, God's work in this place and in the world will be done.
I would like to invite the congregation to be seated as those being presented for membership this morning make their way to the front. We have a great group of people being presented. I look forward to introducing them to you. You want to come down? Great, great. Let me begin these introductions with the Reynolds. We have Will and Jennifer Reynolds. Jennifer works for Bohan Advertising and Marketing, and she's transferring her membership from Peachtree Road United Methodist Church down in Atlanta. Will is a realtor with Parks in the Gulch and is transferring from another denomination, and they've been very active in the young adult community since they've been here. Next, let's go with the Martin family down here on the end. It's Jennifer and Tommy Martin and their adult daughter, Katie. They're transferring from another denomination, and they have jumped right into the life of this congregation as it is. They have Jennifer has been very active, up to her elbows, working in the history and archives with Jackie Sojourner. So they have really begun to know a lot about the history of this church. And Katie is their oldest daughter. She is gainfully employed following graduation in from a prestigious SEC school, Mississippi State University. Next, we have Ben and his fiance, Ben Metter, and his fiance, Gretchen Such. Ben is with Tenet Healthcare, formerly Vanguard Healthcare, and Gretchen is in PA school down at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. They're both transferring from their home United Methodist churches, and we're thrilled to have them joining this morning. Next, we have Bethany Herzina and Elliot Wickenden. Bethany is a Belmont student, and she's transferring from her home church, Collierville United Methodist, over in West Tennessee. And Elliot is a professional golfer, and he's transferring from his home Catholic church in East Tennessee, over in Farragut. So they're kind of meeting in the middle. So it's kind of a pleasure to have both of you. Our first question will be directed to those coming from other faith denominations outside of Methodism. And it's addressed to Will and Elliot and Tommy and Jennifer and Katie. Anybody else? That's it. Okay. Here's the question. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. This question is for everyone standing here. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will. Great. I invite the congregation to stand and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do all in your power to uphold these people, to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life of the prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, and everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as true disciples all of our days. I invite the congregation to join us in Reed Hall following the service to welcome our newest members. We'll be in Reed Hall as opposed to McWhorter Hall because we do not have an all-church lunch today.
Thank you.
And now go forth for God, choosing the terrible responsibility to love. In the name of God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.